their secret mountain lair somewhere in Colorado. This is the Image Doctors Photography Podcast with your hosts, Jason Odell and Rick Walker.
Hey everyone, I'm Jason Odell.
And I'm Rick Walker.
And welcome back to the Image Doctors Photography Podcast. Welcome to our show. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well.
Great. As we move into, we've moved into fall, sort of, kind of. still kind of warm out here, but we're getting some unseasonably warm weather out here in Colorado after an early snow in September. And now we're in summertime in October, right? It's just par for the course. It's all good. But some stuff coming up, we'll be discussing. We got another question on our Facebook page about gear upgrades, you know, when we decide to, you know, get new equipment. And we're going to talk about that next time, right? Because there was a countdown. Nikon has announced that they're going, Nikon has announced that they're announcing the new Z cameras next week. So we'll, the Z6 and Z7 II, Mark II, or whatever you want to call them, will be announced next week sometime. And so we're going to wait for that to see what is there. And then we'll talk about those next time, right? And talk about upgrading and how we do it, at least.
Yeah, we probably needed to pre-announce that we were going to be announcing today.
Right.
We'll be doing that, but just to keep in the spirit of things. But
I'll make a countdown timer on our Facebook page, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but what's our main topic for today, though, Rick?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about color and picture profiles, whether they're things that are in your camera. And we've talked a little bit about those when we talked about simplified JPEG workflows. But we're also going to talk about them in RAW processing programs, including the options of getting special ones, you know, purchasing them or creating your own, that kind of thing. So, and that's something that we use as a feature frequently, right?
Right. Yeah.
Especially in post-processing.
Right. I think most people know that you can change the look and the style of your photo in the camera with the styles or picture controls or whatever your, you know, film emulation, whatever your camera calls it. And most of them, many cameras, not all, but many have something like this. I mean, certainly the ones that we've used, Nikons, Canons, Fujis, they all have different styles. And traditionally,
and they're all kind of the same, frankly,
In
the sense that they have some variety of standard profiles, some variety of vivid or landscape-oriented one, a portrait one. So if the camera has them, they typically look like those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I think it's important to just, you know, understand what that was designed for. And the idea was that with film, you would change films for different kinds of subjects. You would choose a film that was more saturated, higher contrast for landscapes or nature, and you would go with something softer, less contrast, muted colors for portraits. And so the profile or the picture control or the style, whatever, really defines the way that the camera will output contrast, or sometimes referred to as the tone curve, and the color rendition for a particular, you know, for your image. And most of the time you see that, you know, when you're shooting JPEGs, because that's what's going to come out of the camera, or that's what you're going to see on the back of your camera when you're shooting, right? You're going to see a JPEG preview, and it's going to be based upon whatever style your camera is set to. That's just how it goes. And we did talk about that, right? I mean, we talked about if you were going to be shooting a JPEG workflow that you, you know, depending on what you want, if you want, you know, if you want a certain look right out of the camera, you can use that to your advantage. Or if you plan on doing some processing, you could set it to a slightly different, more neutral kind of look and, you know, have some more latitude. But it really affects color and contrast. I think that's the take-home message. The way colors look, hues, tints can be a little different depending on the profile. Contrast can be very different depending on the profile. And then in the Nikon range, the current ones ranges from something that's incredibly low contrast called flat,
right,
which is relatively new, to the vivid and landscape ones, which are extremely stronger contrast and much more vivid colors, and then things in between. So where that gets to be interesting is, you know, the first question usually is, well, what does that do when I'm shooting raw, right?
Right. And of course, the answer is, it depends.
Yes, we'll go back to our good friend Rick Salmon on that answer. And it does depend, because it depends on your camera. It depends on the software that you use. And for the longest time, for a very long time, the general rule of thumb was that if you shoot in RAW, the style really doesn't matter unless you're using your manufacturer's OEM RAW conversion software.
Yeah. And in that case, it would default to what you had set in the camera, but it was just a setting.
Yeah. And it could be changed.
And it did create, you know, like you said, it did change the JPEG preview, but it was really just a tag. And you could change that later.
Right. And with third-party converters, so we're talking about Lightrooms, Capture Ones, you know, those, some of them don't have any way of reading, not only reading the profile, but even changing it. They just use a default profile. So, for example, if you are on a Mac, if you use Photos, which kind of got blended in from Aperture, there is an Apple RAW conversion engine in the operating system, and it applies a profile. And it's just there. And that's just how. So usually when someone would bring their photos into a RAW converter for the first time, their comment was, well, this doesn't look like what my camera showed me. I don't like the colors. I don't like the way this looks. And I don't. And therefore, I don't like the program. You know, right. It's like,
and then depending on the program, sometimes they would actually see the images change as they were loaded, because the program would start with the embedded JPEG previews in that RAW file and then switch to whatever was set as the default or the settings.
And we've both seen that.
Sure.
And then the question is how does it make it look?
I think, you know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, it got worse. That's only one case. It depends on how you have things set in your camera and on your computer. And it can actually go the other way. It can actually go from bad looking to looking good. It's all about settings. So there's nothing inherent there. You know, so if you hear comments like, RAW files are always low contrast and low color saturation, that's not true at all. It's all dependent on what color profile is used, which is conveniently the topic today.
Exactly. So, you know, there are some software programs that sort of use built-in profiles, but you can change them. Some just have a single profile, which again tends to be more of the lower contrast, lower saturation, with the idea that you're going to enhance this in RAW later. Other programs have access or will emulate many, if not all, of the profiles to match what is in your camera, or come very close to matching what was in your camera. And this is especially true with Lightroom Classic, where you can, and I think where it gets to be kind of interesting is that with a program like Lightroom or Capture One, the default profile is typically not one that would emulate your camera. There has to be a profile, and this is like, I like to talk about the camera profile being the first decoder ring step. It's the very first step that the program the software is going to use to generate an image from your raw file. It has to apply some way of transferring, you know, to convert the data into colors and apply a tone curve for contrast. It has to do this.
You said an important thing. Raw files just have information that's more like black and white stuff.
Right.
In them.
So it has to get decoded.
Mm-hmm. And then part of that is the use of the color profile to translate
exactly
things into colors.
So generally, your raw converter is going to have some kind of default because it doesn't necessarily know. And this is changing a little bit, or can be changed a little bit now, and some newer software. But in general, if you opened a Nikon file or a Canon file, whatever, into Lightroom or ACR, Adobe Camera Raw, the profile that was applied used to be something called Adobe Standard. That was the profile, and now it's called Adobe Color, and that profile still exists. And both
of them do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're different.
They are. They are different. Yeah.
The Adobe Standard is a lower contrast, lower color saturation profile. Adobe Color is a higher contrast, higher color saturation profile. But it's not the same as what was in your camera. It's different.
Right. And so you will see, depending on the camera that you're using, you will see slight differences. And this is, I don't know, I've always seen that more noticeable with Nikons, with blues and things like that. It just looks a little different. The colors are rendered just a little differently. Now, there's nothing wrong with it because you're starting from the same point. And that's the objective of using a profile, is to say, well, if I have, you know, photos from different cameras, I can apply one constant profile to them so I get the same or very close to the same look out of a variety of camera raw files. But most of us aren't doing that. Most of us have one, maybe we have two systems. I know you have several, but a lot of times we just process to make things look the way we want it to look them. We want them to look. And so I think, you know, depending on your software, the message is that you can change the profile and therefore change your starting point for your original image. And this has a tremendous impact on your ability to process the file, especially with certain tricky images. Because again, this profile gets applied before you've made any slider adjustments or of any kind. And it has the ability to radically change the color and the contrast rendition of your image. You can use that in two different ways. You can use it to go from a, you know, let's say you just want an image with more pop, you could just change to a more vivid style, pick the, you know, a profile, and without even changing the image, you get a slightly different look. You know, it's like using different film.
Yeah, you don't have to move sliders around or anything like that.
Right.
Profiles and bang, it's something different.
Very easy to do. But the other thing, and the way that I often use it, and you probably use this too, is when you're dealing with a tricky image, like one that had high contrast, you know, just the scene was high contrast, you can switch to a more neutral or that flat or, you know, a more linear profile, a low contrast, low color, and you will recover a tremendous amount of highlight and shadow tones that were originally maybe a little bit clipped because the baseline tone curve was higher contrast. So you can get some of this stuff back again without moving any sliders. So it's really cool.
Yeah, just as an example, you know, I got back a few days ago from a trip to the Tetons in Yellowstone, and one of the images I was working with that was in Yellowstone that was at some paint pots. Had a bunch of trees, some light filtering in through the trees. The overall lighting, you know, was fairly sunny conditions, so there was a lot of contrast. And what I really wanted to do was kind of get a little bit more delicate photo out of it because there was mist from the paint pots and, you know, some nice colors, and just the standard profile was just way too harsh. So I just used a neutral one, and it just pulled everything down, and it's not like the picture then looked flat and boring, it looked pretty good. And then I just painted in some contrast and color saturation where I wanted to emphasize things. It's a really handy technique.
Right. And I think your point is to just underscore that. When you change camera profiles, these are global adjustments. So sometimes your image will look a little bit flat if you choose them. And that's okay if you then take the steps with a fine art landscape to then adjust the localized shadows and highlights to where you want them and and put the contrast back in a less generic way and do that. And for a lot of photos, you don't need that, but for tricky ones or for ones that you want to make a print of or whatever you want to showcase, then that gives you this extra degree of control without having to try to dig in and, you know, use sliders and open up shadows or, you know, make a bunch of adjustments before you even get to where you want to be. So I like this tool. One thing too, for our listeners who do use Lightroom, they moved the location of the camera profiles. They used to be in the bottom of the develop module under the calibration tab. Now they're in the basic up at the very top. You have to expand basic and there's a list of profiles. And what you'll see is there's ones called Adobe Raw. They're only visible if you have a raw file open. So if you open a JPEG, you're not going to see the raw profiles. This doesn't apply. You'll see ones called Adobe Raw, and you can choose from those. And then you'll see camera matching, and those would be the ones that were similar to what would be in your camera, assuming that it has them. And then there's a bunch of artistic profiles that are slightly different, that give different looks, right? And you can use those, and those can be used on JPEGs or RAW files because they're just sort of applying an effect almost on top of the image. And that's a fairly new development in Lightroom, at least.
And they've done some interesting things. You know, they've had these things called, you know, DCP profiles. That's the way the file name ends, .dcp. And those have been around for a while. Those are the things that align with what you were just mentioning. And you can create your own. We'll talk a little bit about that in a sec. But they've also added on what are called XMP profiles. And those are the things that you'll often see with the creative options. And one clue when you've got one of those is you can actually see a slider up where you pick the color profile that allows you to go from 100 down to zero and just kind of reduce the effect or take it up to 200 if you want to go up to 11, so to speak. Yeah, but you can vary the strength of it. It's kind of like an opacity slider in a way. And that's an indicator that it's one of those XMP profiles that's new. There are interesting things with those. I'll just mention one thing very quickly, because this is way, 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 way too complicated to talk about in a podcast. But if you like a certain profile, but you always reduce the contrast, or you always increase the contrast, or you always bump up the color saturation, you can actually make those moves using the sliders and create an all new profile that starts with those settings. And that can just be handy if you're consistently doing the same thing. It's an alternative to the presets that were there in the past. And the nice thing about the new thing is you don't see those adjustments that you made. You see something that starts out with zero settings, very clean, you know, nothing already moved around on you. It's nice.
Yeah, that's cool. There's a bunch of material out there on how to use those and create custom. I think you need to use, don't you have to use Camera Raw to save the, I don't think you can do it from within Lightroom directly.
Actually the other way around.
Oh, okay.
Have to use Lightroom.
Okay.
You can't create them in Camera Raw, but you can use them in Camera Raw. In fact, they're automatically mirrored over there once you do it in Lightroom.
A little backwards there.
It's confusing.
Right.
It is.
Well, yeah, and without going too far down that rabbit hole, you know, should just point out some other software. Capture One has some profiles, but it doesn't necessarily use all the camera matching ones, but it does use different profiles. Luminar, I know a lot of my listeners.
Yeah, and just one little thing here too. Right now, Capture One does support the Fuji.
Okay.
Film emulation profiles, but I think just those.
Okay.
In terms of camera matching.
So there you go. And I was just going to say, Luminar uses the Adobe profiles, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. So if you have those, you can actually load them into Luminar and use them to change your profiles, the built-in Adobe ones. And I'm not sure necessarily how that works if you have to have the Adobe profiles loaded or if they come with it. It's been so long since I've had both installed, so I'm not sure how that works. But it does allow you to change profiles. That is an option. Again, this is for raw files. And then there's the idea of making your own profiles, right? And you already mentioned one way, which is to sort of make your custom creative profile, which can be applied to any image. Mm-hmm. You can also make custom raw profiles. And why would you want to do that? It's not hard, but you have to have specific software to do it in a program that is a little bit hard to get out there. It's a legacy program for Adobe, which allows you to load in a raw file as long as it was saved in DNG format, that's the Adobe raw format. And then you can tinker with colors and you can tinker with curves. And most of the time I don't do this, but
one of the key things you need is one of those color target things where it's got the set of color patches.
Right, like a color checker.
Yeah, exactly. And if you use a color checker passport, which we've talked about in the past, it has its own software that you can use for generating profiles as well.
Right.
You know, it's similar to the Adobe program that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And you can generate this. And why would you do that? Well, if you're looking for, you know, more accurate color rendition. I mean, color is subjective. You know, it's how the camera processes it. So the idea behind these color patches is you photograph the chart with all these little colors on there, these squares, and then going through the software, it tries to make a profile that will match those colors exactly. And that's more useful for people doing commercial photography where colors need to be exact.
Like studio work.
Studio, commercial product photography, mm-hmm. You know, you want to get that red, you know, the exact color. And obviously there's stuff that you would have to do, make sure you would want a color calibrated workflow with your monitor and all this other stuff. It just, you know, to make it work that way. We've played around with those. I stopped using those profiles a little bit just because they tended to be a little bit too harsh for what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Some of the colors I had to back off on them, but they're there, and you can fool around with when you build them with using different tone curve baselines, so you can get some stuff that looks really, really low contrast using the Adobe. It's called the DNG Profile Editor, and it's buried somewhere on Adobe's website under Adobe Labs, and you have to Google it to find it. It's just not easy to find.
One thing I'll mention, and this will sound really bizarre and kind of counterintuitive, but I know this is what both of us experienced trying these things out and thinking that they held more promise than they actually did. People think that if they shoot a color target in a certain light, they will get more accurate colors in that same condition. And that's actually not necessarily true, which is makes you think, why the hell am I doing this?
You're right.
And that is the right response at times, not always. So you have to try it a little bit yourself. But I will just say that using those color checker charts, creating profiles indoors under things like fluorescent lighting of different types, or taking one outdoors where you've got a, let's say, a landscape scene that includes the sky, I find I often don't get accurate colors With those and the fluorescent lighting, even though I use one of those things in that lighting, it does funky things to the colors that do not show up with the Adobe provided ones or the ones that emulate the camera settings.
Right.
It's because Adobe is doing some special tricks to handle the color range, I am guessing. And it's not as simple as dual illuminate profiles, which I know people know that the Passport can create. It's not that, it's something else. And skies, like you, I know, have seen also usually turn out too cyan colored and too saturated, and they just look plain weird. So it's not actually necessarily accurate. It's more like different.
Right.
And you know, that different can work.
At the end of the day, you know, the way we process, because we both process photos from RAW, you know, the colors are subjective, and as long as they look nice to us, it doesn't really matter how you get there.
Yeah.
You know, for me, the profile is something to be aware of. So for example, my default profile, and you can change Lightroom to, you know, set up defaults. In fact, the newest version of Lightroom will actually read profiles from Nikon Z cameras and certain cameras if you choose. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it. But you know, my Nikon standard profile is what I generally shoot with in the field. And when I get a tricky image, I switch down to neutral. And if I get a really tricky image, I can go down to flat. But I know when I do that, I'm going to have to put more work into that image, because I'm not getting a starting, you know, because I'm getting a much more neutral starting point, which for tricky images is great, but for everyday images is completely unnecessary. And I do like using them for different subjects a little bit. Like I have found with my shooting, while landscapes look good generally starting from standard, you know, and I'll go because I'm going to add contrast on top typically. My wildlife photos look better if I start from something like neutral and then just add in a little color. It just opens up the shadows a little, just makes it a little bit less harsh. And it depends on the lighting. There's a lot of other things, you know, the scene is going to drive that. So I think it's more about an awareness. Knowing this tool exists, if it exists in your software, you should check it out, because it can give you some extra latitude when you're trying to process your RAW files.
Yeah. And just I'll make one last comment about what I was talking about earlier, and it aligns with what you're just saying, but say it in a little bit different way. If you go down that path of creating your own profiles and stuff, do not do it because you think that you're going after truth or something better. It may not be either one of those things, and it's certainly not about truth. Do it because it's a creative option. That's how you should view it. It's not about truth. It's about creativity and being able to do what you want to do to make the photo look the way you think it should. The other is a path to madness, and there is no truth. And by the way, a long time ago, you know, when it was film days and new slide films would come out from Kodak or Fuji, you know, there would be all these pictures and charts showing relative rendition between things. And then there would be comments about what was the most neutral. And guess what? No one ever liked the films that were the most neutral. They just didn't. You know, it was usually labeled as something that was an ektachrome thing, and it was not a popular look. People wanted other looks. So it's about what looks pleasing.
There you go. Well, If you've not looked for this feature in your software, check it out. Don't obsess over it, but know it's there. If you've got it, it's a tool. It's a useful tool. And sometimes you'll just discover, like, oh wow, if I switch from this profile to this other profile, the colors just look better from my camera. So I'm gonna make that my new default and just change it up. So it's a good thing to do. Now, if you've got questions for us, like some of our listeners have had the last couple of weeks, just send us a note on facebook.com/imagedoctors. That's where you can find us. And we will be back next week with another exciting episode. So until next time, happy shooting.
All right. Bye-bye.